First Name Sports starts now.
We're kind of on a first name basis around here.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Okay, let's get started.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
Halfway home on a Monday afternoon. Appreciate everybody hanging with us. Sports Map Radio. John Bellmer, our producer, on the other side of the glass. Little NBA to keep things moving. And then we'll hit the college hardwood in the next segment. As yesterday, as we trudge along through the NBA regular season, about a month to go until we hit the playoffs. Yesterday, the Milwaukee Bucks got back on track after their 16-game winning streak was snapped on Saturday night by Philadelphia. Milwaukee goes to the East Coast and defeats the Washington Wizards 117-111. And, you know, whenever it comes to the NBA regular season, when you're talking about a random game like this, it's probably because something happened, right? I'm not that interested in talking about random games between, at least that features one team, and the Wizards that might not even make the playoffs. But sure enough, at the end of the game, Giannis Antetokounmpo was one rebound shy of a triple-double. And here's how that sounded when the final 10 seconds ticked off the clock. And before the horn sounded and the clock read triple zeros, Giannis found a way to get that rebound.
Running out of time, Kisberg off the mark. Another rebound there to Giannis. He's going to finish one rebound shy of a triple-double. And that'll do it. Oh, he got it. Does that count? It's got it, right? Shot attempt.
So that's Lisa Byington, the Bucks announcer. And evidently he had 8 rebounds in the final 15 seconds or so. And you hear Corey Kispert of Washington take a shot, miss. Giannis gets the rebound, so he's at 9. She's like, oh, he's going to be one short. And Bellmer, are we buying that the bench actually communicated to him as he's dribbling it out that he's at 9 rebounds? Or do we think he knew that?
I think he probably had an idea, but if you're good teammates, you're going to try to find a way to let him know, you know. So they may have.
So obviously, he shot the ball in the final 5 seconds when nobody was there, just to himself off the backboard, and got the rebound, and so he gets his triple double. Now, on one hand, you can look at this and say, "Oh, no big deal. Like they won, whatever." I'm going to, you know, and this is proof that I'm not always just in whenever there's old school, new school debates or different, you know, sometimes I'm with the old guys. Other times I'm more, you know, in the new school approach. Like, I'm going to go old man, get off my lawn here a little bit. This is why the culture of the NBA pisses some people off. Because you figure that there's an incentive in his contract to hit the, you know, X amount of triple-doubles, or for every triple-double, you get this kind of a bonus or whatever for the season, however that's structured. And he decides to do it to get the triple-double. Because here's the thing. He still was the one that attempted the shot to himself and got the rebound. Even if the bench is yelling at him, he could have just ignored it and dribbled the clock out, and that's that. But he was the one that cared enough about the triple-double for one reason or another to where he needed to get it. And so he takes a shot to himself and gets the 10th rebound. Just get the win and move on. Like, are we? What this says is you care. This is literal proof of a star player caring equally as much about his own stats as his team's win or loss outcome for that day. What, you're looking at me like, you're like, you don't think that's true, Bellmer?
I know, because the opportunity presented itself. It wasn't like he went out of the way to do it. To like,
he did go out of the way to do it. He didn't need to take that shot. What
he
do you
didn't
mean?
Need to, but he had the ball in his hand with nobody around at the last seconds, and they're already winning. I don't think he put that over the
I'm not saying over. I'm saying equally as much.
Maybe. I don't know. If somebody else had the ball in their hand and he wasn't, you know, running towards the basket kind of already.
We were talking about it in show prep. Why do we kind of cast aspersions in, you know, and throw our pitchforks at Russell Westbrook for doing this kind of stuff and stat padding? So, but we're going to let Giannis off the hook? Let's go back to Draymond from Friday, where we're like, the European players get criticized a little bit more for not winning championships, and they're under more they're under less pressure to win championships than American-born players. Russell Westbrook does this, and we all are like, oh, Russell Westbrook, there he goes again, just caring about his stats. Giannis does it, and we're just like, eh, no, I can't get there. Giannis, this is not a good look. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know. Maybe Giannis, perhaps a little sour grapes. James Harden on Saturday night did kind of outplay you on your court. That's not a great look either. I'm just saying. But again, this is why in the NBA, people make claims about the culture and the me, kind of all about my stats and how do I make myself look better mentality that a lot of stars have. And I just think that the old school sports fan probably doesn't like this. And again, there are Fred Fowler, my old co-host here, used to call me the oldest 27-year-old. I'm 28 now, but he called me the oldest 27-year-old that he knows last year. Those are for other reasons, like the fact that I still have traditional cable and that I still watch DVDs for movies and things like that. But I try and blend a little bit because I don't think that either like side of the spectrum. I think we see this a lot in baseball, right, where the you have the new school analytics people and you have the old school baseball people, and they never agree on anything. It's like Republicans and Democrats. And I don't like it when sports become that. It's like LeBron and Jordan is another example of that. LeBron's got his people that will, you know, ardently defend him. Jordan's got his people that say, you know, a little bit of a back in my day crowd too, that like say, oh, you never saw Jordan when he was great. And like, you get that. And it's kind of the same thing. And there's never any compromising. And everybody just hates each other. So I don't like when we have sports arguments like this. So I like to pluck a little bit of both and say, okay, old fandom group, you have a point here. Younger people, I agree with you there. And that's at least how I try and look at these things. And I think the older fan probably looks at something like what Giannis did and says, that's a bad kind of culture move. And again, I when you watch the video of it, again, we are a radio station, but when you watch the video of it, it's hard not to laugh and hard not to be like, geez. Like, one of my buddies last night goes, this isn't serious, right? Like, this someone made this video of him doing this. Like, he actually did this. And, again, while the bench may have communicated it to him, he still had to put the ball off the backboard and get the rebound. And, as I said, I just look at that, and I can't help but think, there is at least a part of him that has an incentive to get the triple-double that we don't know fully about. But I think there's probably something in his contract that he benefited from. Otherwise, why would he do it? Like, do you really just care about the triple-double by itself that much? I don't know.
If it is in his contract, I want to throw a comparison. Maybe not apples to orange, or maybe not apples to apples, but I think back to last season, I think it was, in the NFL, it may have been the previous season, when Rob Gronkowski was one catch away from an incentive, and they went out of their way, the Bucks did, to make sure that he got that catch.
I'm glad you bring this up. I don't remember the specific, and did he get the catch?
Yes, he did.
Okay. I don't remember the specific Gronk case that you're referencing, but that is something at the last week of the NFL season, and Adam Schefter always tweets out everybody's incentives. Player X needs X and Y amount of receptions for Z incentive. I'm okay with that if the, you know, and this is going to sound hypothetical, but or hypocritical. If the game is over and you want to get somebody a bonus, particularly somebody that maybe is a little lesser profile guy, you know, I can go with it. Like, and I understand why people do that. But I just think star players are held to different standards. And there's an element of, especially in the NBA too, where it's so individualized, where it's so much about the face of your team, the face of the franchise, the face of the league even, some would say, in Giannis. Do you think LeBron James does this?
Probably not.
Right,
no.
There's a reason we attach the stereotype to Russell Westbrook, and it's the worst thing ever, and it's horrible, and Westbrook's just a stat padder if he does it. But it's okay for Giannis to do it. I am just saying, I don't know. I think that there's a little bit of double standard there. And for as much as everybody now looks at Russell Westbrook as a locker room cancer and he's not, you can't win with the guy and he'll shoot you out of games. He did win an MVP. Now, you could argue he did an MVP doing stuff like this on the Thunder when Durant wasn't there and averaging a triple-double. But I guess what I'm saying is there was a time in which Russell Westbrook was just simply viewed as one of the best players in the NBA. And then we quickly changed our focus to, well, he's just a stat-padding guy that fights his own teammates for rebounds. Giannis wasn't fighting a teammate for a rebound, but he went out of his way yesterday to create a rebound for himself. And I'm just saying, for a star player in a sport that's as individualized as basketball to begin with, not sure that's the best look. We will hit the college hardwood next. We'll circle back and do some of the other weekend headlines from the association. But let's go to the college hardwood as championship week is upon us. The low and mid-major conferences finishing up early in the week. And then we'll hit the high major conference tournaments come Wednesday and the rest of the week. Recapping the regular season and some of the big conferences on the other side.
You're listening to First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
I got to give a shout-out to our buddy Sean Mapes, who texted me at the end of the segment there, and I waited until the commercial to open the text. And sure enough, it is a tweet from Zach Lowe. Covers the NBA for ESPN. The league has rescinded Giannis Antetokounmpo's 10th rebound from Sunday night against the Wizards, and thus his triple-double. League rules say that for a field goal attempt to count as official, the player has to shoot, quote, with intent to score a field goal, i.e. make the shot. Which, Giannis, while there is some subjectivity there, I think we can remove the subjectivity and just look at it objectively and say he was not shooting with the intent to make the field goal yesterday. So there, take that, Giannis. I love it. I think it's hysterical, and I think that this is a slap in the face to Giannis. And, you know, again, Russell Westbrook, if he did this, we'd all be saying that he's selfish and he just stat pads. I'm anti-stat padding. Okay, because what happens is it clouds our, we need less of this, because that way real triple-doubles we can actually still value. Because if he got that triple-double in a week's time or, you know, what, however, it's valued the same as a real triple-double. And in the moment right now, we remember that he Ricky Davis did, but come a week, nobody's going to remember that. It's just going to be, it's recorded as a triple-double, and that's it. On to the next one. Because it says it on the piece of paper, on the final stat sheet, that he got a triple-double. That's where stat padding is bad. Because, again, it equates all of these performances the same. And clearly, what you saw last night wasn't an honest-to-God triple-double. And it is now revoked. So there you go. Take that, Giannis. By the way, we did have one last cut. Here's what Giannis himself had to say about the conclusion of the game and the way he tried to get the triple-double as the Bucks had the win sealed away against Washington.
I know I was thinking about scoring the ball, but I feel like, in those situations, it's best to kind of keep the ball. But yeah, I just tried to play the game smart and kind of stole one.
Yeah, so like the first you know, the 95% of that cut, he's like, yeah, you know, just trying to play the game smart, you know, and just trying to, you know, be smart. And then he's like, yeah, kind of stole one. And it's like, yeah, no. Yeah, you weren't trying to play the game smart. You weren't trying to look out for anybody's best interest other than yours. And now looking out for your best interest. Unfortunately, sorry, you know, Mr. Greek Freak, but you don't have that triple-double. So I'm very pleased by that news that I saw on the timeout. All right, let's hit the college hardwood now and do a little weekend whip around from what we saw in the final weekend of the regular season in the major conferences. The Texas A&M Aggies defeat the Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday afternoon in College Station, 67-61. Buzz Williams has done a nice job with this A&M program, and they actually ended up pretty close to winning the SEC regular season title as the Aggies finished one game south of Alabama in the SEC standings. A&M with the victory on Saturday. And it's interesting how I think you have two programs going in opposite directions right now. I talked about Alabama. Fractured locker room. Not sure what's going on with the other players amidst the Brandon Miller stuff. Does Nate Oates have everybody under control? The Crimson Tide have been very vulnerable and sliding by the skin of their teeth in a lot of games recently. They did not slide by in College Station. They were trailing most of that game on Saturday. And then you look at A&M. How do you not look at the Aggies as a team that could be very dangerous in the coming weeks? Because let's say Texas A&M wins the SEC tournament. You could be talking about Texas A&M getting high as a 4 seed, maybe. And that's a dangerous team right now. With good guards, by the way. Which we always talk about as a benchmark of good teams in March. From the SEC to the Big 12, the Iowa State Cyclones with a very impressive win on Saturday, 73-58. They go into Waco and leave victorious over the Baylor Bears. The Big 12, again, proving to be the best conference in America as Iowa State not only wins, but wins convincingly. And had a lead of as large as 20 in this basketball game. Baylor barely led at all. So a very impressive win for TJ Otzelberger's team on the road in Waco. The Big 12, again, not only had one, not two, but three unranked teams defeating ranked teams on Saturday. The second one was the West Virginia Mountaineers, who have probably punched their ticket into the big dance with an 89-81 victory over the Kansas State Wildcats on Saturday. West Virginia needed it at home, got it. They had four guys in double figures. And I tell you, we talk about good atmospheres in college athletics, whether it's basketball or football. When everybody starts singing Country Roads at a West Virginia game, it does make me want to be there a little bit just to sing with them, even though I am not a Mountaineer. West Virginia, big win for that program. And then the Oklahoma Sooners, I don't think they're going to the tournament, but they've been sneaky good sometimes in Big 12 games. They upset TCU and do so by double digits, 74-60. Elsewhere in some of the other conferences across the country, Seton Hall smashes Providence. A blowout for the Pirates in Rhode Island, 82-58 for Shaheen Holloway's team. I don't think they're an NCAA tournament team this year, but the Pirates, you know, Shaheen's a Seton Hall guy, obviously was on Kevin Willard's staff before he got that St. Peter's job and rose to prominence last year. Shaheen's a very easy guy to root for. I mean, I'd like to see Seton Hall continue to get better and rise in the Big East. So a nice win for Seton Hall on the road against Ed Cooley's Providence Friars on Saturday. I mentioned West Virginia on the bubble. How about the Auburn Tigers? Bruce Pearl's current team beats his old program as Auburn wins 79-70 over Tennessee on Saturday. And the Tigers got to be feeling pretty good now about their chances to be an NCAA team. They also had four scorers in double figures as they defeat Tennessee. And we'll see. Maybe Rick Barnes can make some noise in March this year. He's obviously been much maligned for his struggles in March, but Auburn gets a win over the Vols on Saturday. Big win on the bubble for the Tigers. Duke sweeps the Tobacco Road rivalry this year as the Duke Blue Devils. It's a little bit less exciting when you have both of these teams outside the top 25, but Duke a little less disappointing this year than North Carolina as they win 62-57, nearly an identical score from the 63-57 game at Cameron about a month ago. Duke goes to the Dean Dome and wins. The Blue Devils will be in the NCAA tournament. It's been a bad year for the ACC. North Carolina, on the other hand, probably the most disappointing team in college basketball this year. The North Carolina Tar Heels certainly look to be headed for the NIT. Back to the Big 12. Kind of a nothing burger game for Kansas, because the Jayhawks already had the regular season title clinched. They have 15 quad one wins as it is. But Texas wins at home against Kansas on Saturday. Rodney Terry continues to make a very strong case to be the full-time head coach there in Austin. As not only do the Longhorns win, but they win going away 75-59 on Saturday in Austin. Curious to see how high Texas can get on the seed line chart. Probably feels like two is the best they'll be able to do even if they win the Big 12 tournament. But certainly a very nice statement made by the Longhorns against Kansas on Saturday. Last score from Saturday that I'll highlight, and then a few from Sunday. UCLA, we talked about this game on Friday. The Bruins would probably be my pick to win the national championship right now. They win at home over Arizona 82-73. Jaime Jaquez, in his final game at Pauley Pavilion, was terrific. Again, 22 points, 10 rebounds. Zach Edey's going to be the National Player of the Year, but Jaime Jaquez has had a highly decorated career as a Bruin, got to a Final Four 2 years ago. He's been an integral piece of the Bruins' rotation most of his time there. So good for Jaquez and the Bruins as they win on senior night. And lastly, at the buzzer yesterday, the Houston Cougars beat Memphis. Memphis, keep an eye on the Memphis Tigers. Kendrick Davis transferred in conference in the American from SMU to Memphis, but Houston survives at the buzzer. Jamal Shedd with a buzzer beater. Penn State with a buzzer beating win over Maryland. The Nittany Lions probably played themselves off the bubble yesterday. And in a Big Ten thriller in Bloomington, speaking of the bubble, things don't go as well for Michigan as Indiana wins at home yesterday in Bloomington. We'll take a timeout and we'll go back to some of the NBA weekend headlines. That's on the other side. First Name Sports, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
Okay, so a little bit more of just residual news from the Ja Morant stuff from the weekend. Ramona Shelburne now with a story on ESPN.com saying that Colorado police have said on today that they were investigating Ja Morant's actions from the weekend because Morant and the Grizzlies were in Denver to play the Nuggets. He was at a nightclub on, I guess, Friday night after the game with the gun. And so the police department there investigating whether he may have broken any gun laws. Colorado is an open carry state, says Shelburne, but there are exceptions to the law. It is illegal in Colorado to possess a firearm while under the influence of alcohol. So, yeah, it's a very disappointing story. And I just hope that the guy's life doesn't spiral out of control too much. So I hope it all works out for John Morant and the Grizzlies. Because, again, this is a team that theoretically, with all the pieces in place, and we did hear news of Brandon Clark's torn Achilles over the weekend, so he's going to be out the rest of the year for Memphis. But, it's a team that is second in the West, and Morant on the court is one of the best players in the NBA. Speaking of the NBA, just some other things from the weekend that we'll get to now in the association. We talked about them last week, but the winning streak is over for the Milwaukee Bucks as we talked about their win against Washington yesterday, and the Giannis now no longer triple-double. But Philadelphia goes into Milwaukee and wins 133-130. And this was a choke job, honestly, from Milwaukee down the stretch. Grayson Allen catches fire in the third quarter with 20 points in the third quarter. Milwaukee has a 40-point third quarter. And after three quarters, the Bucks are up 14. And I'm about to look at what the largest lead of the game was for Milwaukee. But Philadelphia, led by James Harden, who was excellent on Saturday night, makes a statement in Milwaukee. That was a big win for the Sixers because they lost in primetime Saturday night action against Boston the week prior, a game in which they had a big lead. But they come back. James Harden finishes with 38 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. No triple-double, but he gets the win as the Sixers find a way back. The largest lead for Milwaukee was 18. Joel Embiid, by the way, had 10 assists, hit a couple of threes himself. George Niang hit some big shots for Philly off the bench. It's a big win for the Sixers on Saturday night as the Bucks' winning streak is over. A winning streak that continues. The New York Knickerbockers win 131, I think it was, to 131 to 129 in Beantown last night at TD Garden. Emmanuel quickly with a massive game for the Knicks as he drops, I believe, a career-high 38. Julius Randle was in eclipsed 30 points again with 31 of his own. R.J. Barrett flirted with 30. He gives you 29 points and 11 rebounds. I did a segment on the Knicks last week. They are good. I mean, for the first time since Mike Woodson and Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire, it's 10 years ago now, the Knicks actually have a good basketball team. And it'll be interesting how that adds to their offseason and what it can maybe attract. But the Knicks have won 9 in a row, 2 of those 9 against the Boston Celtics. So the Knicks are actually a good basketball team. And that's something that I think the NBA probably likes. And I imagine the Knicks will be a favorite in their first round series if they do play Cleveland, which is the way it would shake out should the season end today. But they're sneaking up on that Philly and Milwaukee tier in the East as they're only 5 in the loss column behind the Sixers. So, you know, I say only. That's still some ground to be picked up there if they are to actually move all the way up to third. But it looks like Cleveland and the Knicks would be a first-round playoff series. And so be interesting because, of course, Donovan Mitchell, people thought he might go to Cleveland. Might go to New York. He ended up in Cleveland in the offseason. The Lakers get a 113-105 victory over the Golden State Warriors yesterday. Currently tied with Utah for the final spot in the play-in tournament. And they play Memphis. Maybe you're catching Memphis at the right time. That's the next game for the Purple and Gold tomorrow night in Southern California. And, you know, they have a game coming up against the Knicks. So can they tread water enough? Could LeBron James still come back? I don't know. It seems like it's still asking a lot, but the Lakers needed a victory yesterday. They need them all. And they get a win against the Warriors. So they're hanging around, treading water still in the play-in chase in the West. Speaking of play-in chase in the West, the Los Angeles Clippers are trying to play their way out of the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies last night 135-129. And again, this speaks to Memphis just maybe not playing its best basketball in addition to the Ja Morant stuff. Memphis scored 51 points in the third quarter last night. Do the math. Belmer and I were doing some math before we jumped on the show today, actually. That's puts you on pace to score 204 points in regulation. That's how good 51 points in a quarter is for an NBA team. And yet, the Grizzlies lost the game, and they allowed the Clippers to outscore them 38-17 in the fourth quarter. Paul George with 42 last night for the Clips. And it wasn't much of a Russell Westbrook game, but PG and Kawhi carried the load for the Clippers. They are still in the play-in tournament as of now in the Western Conference, but just one in the loss column behind Minnesota. Minnesota currently occupying that sixth seed in the West. And lastly, in the Western Conference, the Phoenix Suns continue to pass every early test in terms of what their big four looks like, because I'm including DeAndre Ayton with Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker. As Kevin Durant hits a big shot down the stretch, Phoenix 130, Dallas 126, and Kyrie and Luka not quite as good as they were against Philly on Thursday night, in which they combined for 82. They combined for 64 in this one, 34 from Luka, 30 from Kyrie. Not good enough for Dallas as Phoenix gets into North Texas and leaves with a victory. And Phoenix currently sitting at the number four spot in the West, certainly going to avoid the play-in tournament. And, you know, we'll see how far the Suns can climb in that Western Conference. But more importantly for Phoenix, 3-0 so far with Durant. 14-point win in Charlotte, 21-point win in Chicago, 4-point win in Dallas. So it's been everything you could have hoped for so far for the Phoenix Suns with everybody on the court. And it's an average margin of victory of 13 points per game in those three wins that they've had. Schedule, you know, now they get Oklahoma City and Sacramento and then Golden State coming up before a big game at home, a 2021 Finals rematch against the Milwaukee Bucks. So we'll certainly circle that one, that game, in a little over a week's time, 1 week from tomorrow. So those are some of the weekend headlines across the association as we are a little more than a month away from the NBA playoffs. And, you know, March is a college basketball month. We'll certainly talk plenty of college basketball as the week progresses. But, you know, it really is go time for these NBA teams that are trying to dot the I's and cross the T's, if you will, on their regular season. And some, in the case of, I mentioned the Clippers and the Lakers trying to get into the play-in tournament, but you really need to just go on runs and get out of play-in tournaments or maybe get into play-in tournaments. There's only so much time you can really play with here. And conversely, on the other side of the coin, you have teams in the middle of the conference like Phoenix and the Knicks who are just playing really good basketball right now. And I know Phoenix is a team that we look at as a title contender, but they're fourth in the West. And, you know, they certainly seem to have solidified home court in the first round at least. And, you know, again, when you look at the West right now, the teams that are ahead of Phoenix, Sacramento, do we trust them? Or is Sacramento just going to hang on to that three seed in the West? I'm not sure. And then the second team in the West is the Memphis Grizzlies, and we know about some of the stuff that they've been dealing with off the court. So it looks like Phoenix may be able to get as high as second in the Western Conference. Denver seems like a safe bet to be your number one seed. We'll take a timeout and we'll come back. You know, there is a service which I am going to implore you all, if you're listening, not to pay for. Don't do this. I'm not saying that I've done it, but when I heard about it over the weekend, I thought, wait a second, is the market really this big for this? I'll explain what I mean on the other side from a little weekend anecdote of mine to wrap things up for a Monday. John Belmer on the other side of the glass. Greg Frank, flying solo, First Name Sports, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Greg Frank.
Belmer, yay or nay on a little Motown. Michael Jackson, you're playing him coming back here. Thumbs up, right? I can't hear you.
Thumbs up for what?
Just as a genre, like good music?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah,
heck
great.
Yeah. I, based on the topic of this segment, I was trying to find something, good to come out with. I thought this was close enough.
Okay, so one of the things that I always like to do with my show, I like to think I'm not that boring. And so I like to think there's something that I did with my day, maybe not every day, but something that I did that I might want to share on the airwaves. Because I'll be honest, like, I'm not one of those people that is all, like, guarded over my personal affairs. Like, I'm not doing anything all that secretive, right? You guys can, I got no problem sharing my daily life stuff and it's something that I enjoy. So I went on a date yesterday, and you know, it turned out I thought it went well, but the female thought, you know, she wasn't really feeling it. You know, it didn't think we had a whole lot in common. It's interesting. Like, we spent the whole hour and plus talking about she was into sports and, you know, talking about movies that she likes, movies that I like. I don't know. I thought there was a little something there, but she didn't. Whatever. So then she texted me saying, hey, you know, if you are really serious about dating, you should use this this service. And it's called It's Just Lunch. And the concept is that there are, air quotes, quote unquote, professional matchmakers that get to know you. And then they match you up with somebody, and the minute you think you have something with another client, you can pause your membership. That way you're not continuing to pay on, you know, a monthly basis or whatever. Which, by the way, on the FAQs on the website, it doesn't even tell you how much the thing costs. They kind of beat around the bush without just spelling out, here's what you're going to pay. And I am imploring all my fellow singles out there, male or female, to never pay a cent to one of these services. And here's why I say that. Because at the end of the day, it takes two to tango here. Not three. Okay? So when we try and put somebody in the middle, and when we try and have this person play matchmaker, it doesn't matter if you have 50 million things in common with the person they're matching you up with, or maybe you have nothing in common. I mean, if you have nothing in common with you and they're trying to match you up with this person, then that's a conversation of their own lack of ability to do the job. But regardless of how many things you share in common, for whatever the reason may be, that they may think you might be a match with a significant other, it is still going to be up to you to make that decision for yourself, and up to the other person to make that decision for themselves. Meaning, at the end of the day, we don't have this person in the middle that is deciding if this is going to work or not. Okay, this is not fantasy football where we can just make our trade, or, you know, draft our team and put our roster together, and the real players who are actually the ones going out and performing for us, they don't have any say in the matter because it's just our own little fantasy game that we're playing. No, these are our lives, okay? And you get to decide who you want to be with, and the other person gets to decide who they want to be with, and it's either going to work out or it's not. So regardless of who this person's trying to connect you with, the idea that they're going to sell you on, if you pay us your money, you're going to find love. You're going to find somebody that you otherwise wouldn't have found. And we're going to provide you with the professional matchmaking service that's going to have you figure out your significant other. I should have done this segment 3 weeks ago. It would have been perfect for Valentine's Day. We're a little late on that boat. But regardless, never, like, any service, this goes beyond matchmaking. Anyone that tells you, if you pay me X amount of money, I will change your life, you should be inherently skeptical of that person. Whether it comes to, I'm sure there's all sorts of job-related perks or traps that you can get lured into, where whatever the field is of your professional line of work, there's somebody that's trying to make a buck and say, hey, I know X, Y, and Z in your field, and if you pay me, I am going to get you that big job. And, you know, obviously, listen, we live in representation agents, like agencies. I'm not saying the entire thing is irrelevant, but prove to me that you're a little more connected. Prove to me that you are worth trusting. Without speaking to me in generalities, like, you can't even answer how much your service costs. Or, like, I went on their Twitter, like, they got as many followers as I do. Like, it's like, okay. Like, where is the contact backing where it's like I look at it and say, oh, like, yeah, these people are pretty connected. Like, again, And this is not me bashing all talent agents or representation or, like, I realize, like, there is space for people to connect prospective employees with employers. But even then, it's still the employer has to want to hire the employee and the employee has to want to take that job. And so while the person in between can be the intermediary and figure things out for you and steer you in the right direction, they can't make you get hired, just the same way these matchmakers can't make you enter a relationship, because you have to decide if it's right for you and the other person has to decide if it's right for them. So don't fall for these scams, is what I'll call them, because that's what it is, in my opinion. If they're selling you on changing your life and offering you a service that is going to naturally, like, be a seminal turning point for you in your life, it's probably too good to be true. Because you want to do the free dating apps, go for it. But the minute you start paying for this stuff, the more I believe you are just getting shafted.
I'm glad you brought up the word scam. I have a quick question for you. Where did you meet this girl?
On a dating app.
On a dating app.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that she is connected in some way or being paid in some way by
by that
service to try
That's
to steer
level.
People?
Is there a commission that she's making to bring in
just
more
the way
people?
Just the way you described,
wow.
Like, hey.
I didn't even think of that.
You know, she texted you afterwards like, hey, if you're serious, try this service. Just kind of felt like to me maybe there's something there.
So you're saying was the whole thing a setup? And she was never interested, and it was all about recruiting me to this service.
You said you were there for about an hour, right? Yeah, that's not too much time.
No, but, like, how long's your average, like, brunch dinner date? Like, hour and a half?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's next level, like, thinking on your part that I did not think of until you brought that up. I felt like it felt like an honest God date. I was into her. She wasn't into me. Whatever. We go our separate ways. We move on. And, you know, I got those typical, like, yeah, you know, you seem like a great guy, but, you know, you get those lines. And then she gives you the dating service thing, and I don't get, and Belmer, this is what we're talking about off the air, it baffles me that there's even a big enough market for this kind of stuff, where people are going to fall for the fake bill of goods that they are getting sold.
Anytime there's gullible people, there's gullible. There's people taking
gullible
advantage
people,
of it.
Gullible money, and gullible money is just as much as real money. So, you know what? Good on you, matchmakers. If you can trick enough people into buying your service, and for every one success story, there's 10 people that think they really got screwed, or there's people that will forever think, yeah, those first 10 dates that I was paying for, they weren't great, but the 11th one will be the charm. And that's also part of the stupidity of some of these clients, I'm sure, is that there is never a tipping point. There is never a, gee, maybe this isn't worth it, awakening moment. And for me, like, I almost just want to call these people just to ask, why is it so hard to figure out how much your service costs? Because it was an FAQ, and on the website, they don't even spell that out clearly. So, please, if you're listening, don't fall for this. It is a scam, as far as I'm concerned, even though it's not actually in your spam email asking you to sign up. And there's got to be so many of these. The more I thought about it, I was like, now you think about it, like, a lot of them are, like, religious-oriented, where it's like, hey, if you go on this site, you're going to find yourself a nice Christian woman or something. Like, it's like, you know what? Like, I'm either going to figure it out for myself or I'm not. And it's either going to happen naturally or it isn't. So I don't need you in the middle. Go away. Please, if you listen to that last 10 to 15 minutes, don't waste your money on one of these things. That'll do it for us on a Monday afternoon. John Belmer on the other side of the glass. My name is Greg Frank. Greg Frank, you think I'd be able to say my own name? Thanks to Matt Verderam for joining earlier in the show from Sports Illustrated. Back tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Sports Map Radio.